Hey everybody, it's Will here. Thanks so much for tuning into another episode of the Tea Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be opening up a new matcha from Yame, and I'm also going to be walking you through the basics of preparing your own matcha at home. So this might be a helpful refresher for some of you who want to get more into matcha or who are already making their own matcha at home. So this is a sample that a farmer sent to us. We've recently been testing quite a few matchas, maybe a few dozen that farmers have sent to us from all over Japan, and we're selecting a few that we want to add to the website for 2021. So this may be ending up on the website, not sure yet, but we're definitely going to be trying to acquire this one in the near future. So this is a matcha from Yame. It's grown without pesticides, which is obviously a prerequisite of ours. So I'm just going to take... I have a basic setup here. I have a little bowl. I'm using a Chawan, but you can use pretty much any bowl. I just always recommend to people that the bowl is not super important when you're just starting out, because it's basically all bowls function pretty similarly. What you do want to invest in is the bamboo whisk. If you buy one tool, it should be the bamboo whisk. The optional tools are the bamboo spoon. On our website, we're giving them away for free with a lot of our products. So, for instance, if you get, if you sign up for the monthly matcha club, you get a free whisk and a free spoon. So that's nice. But otherwise you can just use whatever spoon you have, kind of like a metal spoon. And then as you get more advanced with matcha, you can kind of level up to different tools, but for right now, all that matters is the bamboo whisk is nice to have. It's really the best tool for whisking matcha. You can use a metal whisk, but I find that just doesn't produce as much foam, and it's also like kind of really noisy in the morning, which sounds silly, but it's really like really annoying noise. It's like metal whisk scraping against a bowl. It's kind of really jarring in the morning. This bamboo whisk is a lot more pleasant. It's really quiet. It's really relaxing. And that may all sound like pretty silly, but it really does make a difference when it's something that's a part of your morning routine. You're kind of taking time to do like a moving meditation in the morning when you're making your tea. Another optional thing is to get a little sifter. And this helps remove the clumps from your matcha. So as you're preparing matcha, you're going to notice that it's very sensitive to the humidity in the air. As soon as you open up the matcha, there's going to be some clumps that are starting to form. And the best way to eliminate those clumps is just by running it through a sifter. What I'm going to go ahead and do is position the sifter over the bowl and then do two large scoops of the chashaku, or the bamboo spoon. And so what I find is that the bamboo spoon is actually like a pretty good measurement tool. It may not seem like it, but basically, and what I've seen people do, like tea masters at kind of tea shops and also in a tea ceremony, is they'll just kind of try to get as much powder as they can on one scoop, and then they'll do two of those, and that's kind of how they measure. And that's actually a pretty precise measurement, believe it or not. But otherwise, if you really want to measure it out yourself, I would recommend going for one teaspoon, probably the easiest. If you have a scale at home, you can do 2 grams and be super precise, but one teaspoon should be about right, should be about 2 grams, or 2 big scoops of the chashaku. And then what I'm going to go ahead and do, this is an extra step I like. You can go ahead and soak your bamboo whisk. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now. And basically, just going to soak this a little bit. This doesn't need to be super long. You just want to kind of, you basically want to get the tea whisk wet, so it doesn't go into the bowl whisking dry. And the reason for this is because the bristles are super thin. They're very fragile. And by soaking them before you make the tea, it just makes them a little bit more pliable. And that's really what you want. Then what I'm going to go ahead and do is, I have the powder in the bowl right now. I'm actually going to pour a tiny bit of water into it. and kind of whisk it up into a paste. So this is an extra step that I like to do. And it just makes sure that you have this extra layer of security. You're not getting any of the clumps in there. So now what I have is this nice matcha paste, almost like a koicha, if any of you know that. But this is just going to be kind of to make sure that I'm not getting any clumps in here and that my matcha is mixing perfectly into the water. And then I'm going to go ahead and pour in, I'm just eyeballing it here. It's usually a little less than you think. They say around 100 milliliters. That's kind of like, I think like a third of a cup. So really not a whole lot of water. You can add more if you want. I mean, I kind of have my preferences dialed in, so I'm going to use a little bit more water. And you're going to go ahead and scrape off the sides of the bowl. And then you're going to go ahead and mix in zigzag motions. So you're doing really fast movements with your wrist and not a whole lot of arm movement. And I actually recently made a video about this, how to kind of improve your matcha foam. And one of the things I recommend if you're practicing at home is actually start with a larger bowl. And this actually gives you more range of motion, because what's really difficult for beginners is whisking in such a small space. Because the chawan or the tea bowl is, it's taller than most bowls for how wide it is. So this doesn't really give you a whole lot of space to work with. And that can be difficult for beginners. So what I recommend is, if you're practicing your skills, start with a larger bowl so you can get a larger range of motion. It's much easier to get that foam. And then you can work your way down to the smaller bowls to eventually the chawan. And what we're looking for here is these really tiny bubbles. You don't want them to be too large. You want them to be these nice, fine bubbles. If you've ever had a nitro coffee, this is kind of what we're going for. We're kind of trying to simulate like almost like a latte by creating this foam. We're aerating the tea. We're making it creamier. We're making it smoother. We're giving it a little bit of a lighter and airier texture, and this can also improve the flavor. So right here, I got pretty good. What you'll see sometimes in Japan is, if they have some larger bubbles, they'll take an extra step and they'll just kind of pop them, pop the larger bubbles. So they're only left with the smaller ones. I guess the thought is that, you know, the larger bubbles aren't quite as creamy as the smaller ones. So we're gonna go ahead and, oh yeah, that's really smooth. So this is going to be kind of like a mid-range matcha. So my expectations aren't super high where they would be with, for instance, some of the ones from Chanoka that we recently launched. Those ones are kind of on the higher end. Obviously the matcha Washimine from Mr. Nakai and the Henta matcha. But this one's more of like a kind of like a mid-tier matcha. Which is good for beginners that are kind of trying to level up a little bit more gradually over time. But that being said, it's really good. It's not a whole lot of bitterness, nice smooth flavor, but the power is definitely there, which I like. Sometimes I find that if a matcha is too smooth, it's cool, but it's almost like, what's the point? You know, it's like, it just tastes like milk. I do find that I like teas that are kind of a balance between the smoothness and they have some power to them. So the Matcha Washimine is very, very good. It's definitely our most popular, but it's so smooth that sometimes I'm looking for a little bit more power, a little bit more character. Whereas that one just kind of tastes like a matcha latte. You know, it's very, very smooth. This one, not quite as smooth. It's got a little more power to it, which gives the tea a little more character. I definitely get this kind of freshness that you get with a lot of Yabukita matchas. So that is definitely something that I think the typical matcha consumer will look for in a tea. So like the most popular matcha by far is Yabukita matcha. And a lot of consumers of matcha, particularly in Japan, are looking for that kind of that grassy flavor. So, you know, these like steamed vegetable, grassy notes, that's something they're looking for. What we found is that customers in the US and Europe are looking for a much smoother matcha, so like an Okumidori or a Goko or a Saimidori. So these ones are going to be a little bit smoother. But if you're looking for a matcha that has that freshness and that character, I would definitely recommend this one, the Yame matcha. Yeah, you can tell that the foam is helped because the first couple sips were much smoother. Now I'm getting towards the end and a lot of the foam is gone, and I noticed the drinking experience is not quite as good because I don't have those small little bubbles anymore that are kind of helping with the creaminess and the consistency. So this kind of stresses the importance of getting that foam right. Some people have kind of, I've been reading online as I'm doing research for these videos, and some people say that you actually want to eliminate a lot of the foam. And I've seen this as well, but I think, at least for what we're looking for a very smooth matcha with kind of like a creamy consistency, and the foam definitely helps that. But we have seen, for instance, people prepare matcha tea in a strainer. So they actually just like, they'll take the strainer, they'll put the matcha into it, and then they'll just kind of dip it into warm water like you would preparing a leaf tea. And with that method, you get no foam. And that's kind of a unique way to prepare matcha. And I think the reason they do that is because they want kind of like a consistent comparison between two teas. We've seen people do this for tastings. They'll kind of prepare two different matchas side by side with no foam. So there's no kind of like hidden variable of foam that will affect the flavor of the tea. So if you actually don't like the foam, this is a method you can prepare. Just basically prepare it like you would a leaf tea, but use 2 grams for that. Otherwise, it's going to be too strong. But if you like the foam and you want to try that kind of like nitro coffee effect, I would definitely recommend getting the bamboo whisk and maybe some other utensils if you want to get a little more serious. But definitely the bamboo whisk. Just use whatever bowl you have. If you really want to get fancy, you can get a chawan, and then just kind of whisk up the matcha yourself. We put out a video recently about matcha foam, so how to get a better foam on your matcha. I would definitely recommend checking that out. And if you guys have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask us. We're available on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, email. I think we even have a messenger through the website. So definitely check us out and shoot us any questions if you have them. We'd be happy to answer them. We just love helping everyone along their tea journey. Discovering new things, learning new techniques. So please reach out to us. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hope to see you next time.